Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. On January 11th and 12th, the International Court of Justice in The Hague, which is the principal judicial organ of the United Nations, will begin a procedure requested by the South African government to examine evidence of, quote, alleged violations by Israel of its obligations under the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide in relation to the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, end quote. Now, to understand the possible legal and geopolitical repercussions of the ICJ hearings, we'll be speaking to two guests tonight. First is former Minister of Foreign Affairs, Tan Sri Said Hamid Elba. Tan Sri, thank you for being on the show with me today. Back in December, you had written an opinion piece calling for Malaysia to take Israel to the International Court of Justice for Genocide. And this was actually several weeks before South Africa filed their application. I'm wondering what you think of this legal procedure. Why is bringing a legal procedure to the ICJ important? What are the stakes here?
I think, thank you very much, Melissa, for inviting me to engage with you on this subject. I think it's a very interesting subject. There is always, I think, a lot of debate and polemics. Is international law important when you're talking about justice, human rights, or is it international politics is important? These are all issues in international relations and diplomacy. So I think the international system is such that they go through the process, go through the General Assembly, go through the Security Council, all has failed. It has not been able to do what it wants to do. That is to stop the carnage, to stop the killings, to stop the slaughter. I think everybody felt touched with, this is a very unique case. You are seeing killings and genocide in real time, not like in Cambodia, Rwanda, or Bosnia. This is in real time. And if the human race with its system cannot stop it, it's a very sad, something that one feels so badly about. You feel demoralized. You lose confidence on the ability of human beings to keep peace, security, to keep order in the international system. So I think they went through. Actually, it's not just simply going through the ICJ. Bolivia, if you can remember, Bolivia brought it to the ICT, International Criminal Tribunal. You see, there are two legal processes. One ICT, the other one is ICJ. One is against state, the other one is against individual. ICT is highly politicized. The cases have been brought. There are cases in 2009, but nothing is done. In 2020 was done, but there was no investigation, even though when the previous chairman said that, yes, there is enough case to investigate whether there is. So what is your next option? Have human beings got option? This is a human failure, the option to stop killing. The United Nations was established with the purpose of keeping peace and security, to keep law and order in the international system. When all the parties that are supposed to do that have blocked all things possible for you to be able to stop and have a ceasefire, let us have a semblance of sanity, soundness. Okay.
Well, you're absolutely right. This is one of the most documented genocides in that we can remember in recent history. The ICJ has previously rendered an advisory opinion against Israel before, saying that the construction of the wall in the occupied Palestinian territory was contrary to international law. But Israel did not abide by that legal opinion. Is there still trust in international law at this point in time, as we are about to see the public hearings at The Hague? Can we place our trust in international institutions still to uphold principles of justice and hold those who commit genocide to account?
I think this is a very good question that you have posed. The most important thing is that Israel has it so good that it is the only country in the world that is covered by the big powers. They do not have to follow international law. They have ignored international law with impunity. So this is an opportunity. When you bring it, and if it is decided, there are two parts. One is to hear whether there is genocide. Two is to see whether we can, based on the genocidal intent, act, words, and statements, it will justify the ICJ to make a provisional order. Once the ICJ make a provisional order to stop, then Israel is bound to follow. If Israel doesn't follow, all its members of the UN, they are signatory to this, has to follow, or they will be actually breaching the convention. And so I think we should not give up hope in the worst situation. I think, and we hope that all those who are complicit will also start to think that what we are trying to save is humanity, justice, and international law. These are the three factors that are important. Otherwise, the whole system will break. And I think this is not what we want. There's still hope that the international system will have room to work.
Right. From a geopolitical perspective, Tan Sri, do you think Israel cares about how it's perceived on the international stage? And I say this after 3 months of intense international scrutiny on what is happening in Gaza.
I think this time there is a difference. Israel and the United States and its Western allies have always determined the narrative of the story, what is happening. These are not new, you know, 75 years.
Yeah.
It's actually set in 75 years of Nakba, catastrophe. All kinds of things have been committed. But this time they have no control over information. They have no control over how it is related. So I think the social media, and this is something that is different from before, it is the mass, the citizens of the world that has decided. It's not the state actors. It's the people, the netizens from all walks of life, whether you are Jews, you are Christian, you are Muslims. They work together to see the stoppage of this carnage and the crimes, war crimes that committed by Israel. So Israel has no longer the control or the first say. You know, I mean, I think if you look at Jeffrey Sachs very interestingly say that U.S. foreign policy has always been premised on lies, or foundation of lies. I think Israel is very good at this. So this time, somehow or other, people no longer believe them. People right. are seeing with their own eyes. They can make their own decisions. They can come out with their own judgment. So it's a very interesting test case, whether then the decision that is going to be made by the court is going to be political or law. So these are all things that we need to, you know, there's still a political element in everything. Because if you look at the composition of the ICJ, there's always, but I have appeared before ICJ and in the advisory opinion, requesting ICJ to make an advisory opinion on the wall that they build. And we won the case, all the judges decided except anything, but Israel, of course, advisory opinion is not binding, but this one is different. If you get a provisional order, then the U.S. under its own domestic law, they have to. There is an implementation of the Geneva Convention, which can put the leaders of the United States into very difficult situation, or even right. in the UK and all this sort of thing, EU in a difficult situation. We just want justice. That's all, I think.
Okay, realistically, Tansri, what do you think is going to happen after the hearings?
If you base on facts, if you base on law, I think the answer is straightforward. The provisional order should be given, and I think there is enough evidence to prove genocide. Stop this, and then it may take another 1 year or two to decide whether all the acts, the words, the statements amount to genocide or not. At present, let us cross the first bridge. The first bridge is to get, you know, the ceasefire, everything to stop, everyone to wake up that something bad, really bad, has happened in the world, and we must be able to do something.
Right. In the couple minutes we have left, I do want to just quickly ask you, because you had written that piece calling for Malaysia to be the one to petition the court over the Gaza genocide. What do you think Malaysia should have been the one to submit that application to the International Court of Justice? I mean, South Africa has, but do you think Malaysia should have done?
No. I think I just wanted to provoke the situation that things start to happen, you know. And I think it's good that Malaysia has come out with a statement. And this statement is going to be read as part of the support of the international community. And I think that is important for our credibility. And we are a member of the United Nations Human Rights Commission. And there is a gross violation of the human rights, human rights violation, human rights convention, all kind of things against humanitarian law. So I think I wanted the debate. It's most important thing in this current situation is for it to be spoken, to be vocalized, to be debated, so that we will wake up the world. Hey, let us get back our sanity and stop what is happening in Gaza, in Palestine, in West Bank. Let us bring justice and international law. Don't put it as international law is dead. We want to say international law is very much alive to protect all of us.
Thank you so much for speaking with me, former Minister of Foreign Affairs, Tansri Syed Hamid Alba. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. South Africa has brought a case against Israel at the International Court of Justice, accusing it of genocide in its war on Gaza. The hearings will begin on the 11th and 12th of January. What can we expect from the hearings and the outcomes of this case? Joining us now is former Sahakam Chair, Professor Datuk Dr. Rahmat Muhammad. He is a legal scholar and professor of law at University of Technology Mara, and also chair of the legal team at My Aqsa Foundation, which submitted to the International Criminal Court evidence and testimony of genocide, war crimes and crimes against humanity against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Professor Rahmat, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. Before we get into what to expect from the ICJ's public hearings this week, I'm just wondering whether you can tell us more about the My Aqsa submitted dossier to the ICC. Why has My Aqsa submitted evidence and testimony to that International Criminal Court as opposed to the ICJ, the International Court of Justice?
Thank you very much, Melissa, for the question. Yes, we actually had made our intervention twice in ICC. The first time was when the ICC is to decide, their trial chambers to decide whether they have jurisdiction over Palestine to commence investigation. At that time was prosecuted by Bensouda at that time, and that was we became the amicus curiae, and Palestine had in fact given the right to be part of the ICC investigation. ICC trial chambers agreed that they will commence investigation. at that time. And second, the second intervention was recently, last November last year, we submitted our case before ICC to assist ICC on the investigation and also to fasten the charge against Benjamin Netanyahu and the military officials. So that was our involvement in ICC. And we can't go to sorry Melissa, please.
Sorry. If I could just jump in very quickly, can I ask you, the ICC has not moved to indict Benjamin Netanyahu, but we are hearing this case brought by the South African government to the ICJ. How should we read this, that the ICC is not moving forward, whereas the ICJ is?
Not to say that ICC is not moving forward. I think what at the moment, Prosecutor Karim Khan is still gathering evidence, which I thought is unnecessary because we have given all the evidence to start indicting Benjamin Netanyahu and the officers. The fact that ICC is because ICC will in fact take action against individual crime against humanity, genocide, and war crime. So it is a court that prosecute individual, unlike ICJ, where only states can bring the matter to ICJ under now we are talking about genocide convention. So these are the difference between these two courts, actually. And of course, in ICJ matters, there are two things that South Africa, in the South Africa case, there are two things that South Africa requested from ICJ. Number one is to ask ICJ for provisional measures, which include and under the measures to stop all the military action against the Palestinian. In other words, to cease fire, not to pursue that otherwise would be considered as genocide. Secondly, South Africa asked for the court to make a decision that the act conducted by Israel against Palestinian amounts to genocide under the genocide convention. So these are the two things that South Africa wanted the court to make that declaration and to make that decision.
So could you elaborate as to what does South Africa have to prove in its case?
South Africa, in case of provisional measures, is to prove that Israel has done what has been within the purview of genocide, killings and destroying buildings, hospitals, children, women, and at the moment there are, I suppose, more than 20,000 people died and more than 50,000 injured since 7th October in India attempt to destroy Palestine. So in that case, according to South Africa, that would amount to genocide. And under genocide convention, there are two things that that state is obligated. Now, the law is very clear on this, that in relation to crime of genocide in nature, the law says that the state is under an obligation to the international community, or what we call erga omnes partes. Erga omnes is law that state is obligated to pursue. In other words, this is what South Africa is asking, that because Israel did not prevent the genocide, therefore South Africa now is asking the court to make that decision and to declare that the act conducted or pursued by Israel amounted to a genocide. So that is what is required of Israel, South Africa to prove in ICJ on the 11th.
So talk to me about the significance of any ruling that might come out from the hearings by the ICJ. You mentioned the provisional measures essentially requesting for the ICJ to call for a ceasefire. What significance would it have if the ICJ does indicate these provisional measures?
Oh, we should celebrate the decision in favor of Palestine if the provisional measures is granted to South Africa. This would mean that this is something that all or international community want to see, the ceasefire, cease and desist all action by Israel against the Palestinian. So this is one that I'm confident that this could be make out. The ICJ would make that decision in favor of South Africa, as there is already a precedent in Gambia taking Myanmar to ICJ, and they got the provisional measures against Myanmar. So I think this is something that is possible. But the one that is more important is the genocide, whether Israel had committed genocide. And this will take years, Melissa. It will take years. It can be a decade. Like the Bosnian War, it took more than a decade to finally ICJ making that decision that there was genocide committed in that case.
Right. Prof. Rahmat, if the court grants the provisional measure for a ceasefire, will Israel have to comply?
Israel is part of the international community. I presume that Israel will have to honor international law, to honor the decision of the ICJ. The fact that they attended, they are part of the respondent in the case, I think that shows that they should be responsible. And I think as far as provisional measures is concerned, I think that will be a good bargain for Israel to adhere to what ICJ had probably decided on the case. But on the other hand, we have yet to hear what measures that the court will take. It may not be the same as what South Africa is asking, but I think as far as we international lawyers are concerned, at least a ceasefire would be a good decision, and that humanitarian assistance should be granted to the Palestinian.
Right. So what would you be looking out for in these hearings? I mean, if we were watching these as outsiders or people who are not experts in international law, what should we expect? What should we watch out for?
On the 11th, there will be a 2 hour presentation on each side, Israel and Palestine. Of course, South Africa will advance their argument on why they should be given that provisional measures against Israel, and Israel will make a case to counter those arguments that provisional measures should not be given based on merit. They are given the time, and I think this will be the first thing that the court will have to decide. They will take a few months to make that decision. So we hope the decision will take as fast as possible, but it will take a few months, like in Myanmar and Gambia decisions. Yeah, and I think what we need to hear is how South Africa would argue the case in asking for that preliminary or that PM, yeah, the provisional measures, based on the evidence that they have gotten, and also based on the expert opinion. So I think that would be something that is something that we look forward to see.
What about Israel? Israel's submission, Israel's part.
Yes, of course, we would like to hear from Israel to what would be their argument, what would be their counter argument, what would be the excuses that they would have given. And both parties had a very credible lawyers to represent them. Professor Dugard from South Africa will lead the South African team, and Professor Shaw from UK will lead the the Israelis team, and I think both would argue credibly on why they should or should not be given that provisional measures. But I'm very hopeful and I'm very confident that ICJ would give that decision to South Africa.
Prof. Rahmat, can I just ask you a quick question about public trust in international institutions? This has been one of the most documented genocides we've seen happening in real time. Do you think there's still trust in international law to uphold the principles of justice?
I think, the world is as such that, that international entity like ICJ and also the UN for that matter plays a very important role. You know, for many years we see that there is no accountability of war crime or crime against humanity that has been committed by Israelis against Palestinians. So hopefully this time, you know, we would have. But I think international community play an important role in continuing to pressure the entity like the UN General Assembly, the UN Security Council. I think the ICJ judges are human beings after all, and they are actually observing what is happening around the world. But of course, what we are afraid of is the political structure of such, thinking. As you know, that the UN is not, UN Security Council is a political entity, so it has that credibility to the P5 especially would have power over others. These are something that we have to accept. The reality is that the superpowers still control the world and they dominate the direction of the world, so but we should not give up hope, because I think international communities are putting pressure every day. You see demonstration and abhorrence against war crime and genocide. We hope that this is something that we would like to see happening or taking place shortly, right. and justice for the Palestinian people, really.
Thank you so much for speaking with me. That was Professor Datuk Dr. Rahmat Muhammad wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching. Good night.